I'd like to introduce our next guest, Sayale Anuttara, about whom I already told you some information, and I'd like to extend this information to properly invite her on stage, that she is a Burmese female ordained nun with English origin. Please, a warm hand to Sayale Anuttara. Coming. And the title of her presentation is Words of Inspiration from a Buddhist Nun with a Healthy Amber and Green. That's in the title, because she represents a tradition and she is uncompromised in the purity and intention of meditation and in how to guide people in it through the jhanas, which are deep absorptions, and through vipassana stages until final awakening. That's amber. But she also has a green side. When I first, and the shoe is also green, she points at, that's her green side. So when I first sat with her, the first question she asked, do you enjoy your meditation practice? I said, wow, that's a question I've been never asked by any tradition, if I enjoy the meditation practice. So may I share that your mother is a humanistic therapist, a person-centered psychotherapist. So no wonder why she carries this green heart. And it's so rare, because if someone is green, usually doesn't have this amber depth and rigor of tradition, or if somebody's a traditionalist, usually doesn't have this person-centered focus. So please welcome Anuttara as an integrally framed nun.
Yeah, hi. So I was in the car on the way here yesterday, and I was saying to my friend, what should I say? Usually when I teach, it's responsive to the person in front of me, so I find it a little bit difficult to plan for big audiences that I don't know. I've never been to an integral conference before, and I recently read a book by Ken Wilber, but I don't know much, and it's strange for me to see the title of this talk. So what I'm going to say today is based on my experience of being here, which was mostly last night at our constellation. I'd never done a constellation before. And it was quite a powerful thing, no? To any of you who were there. A bit closer? Can you hear me? Yeah. So one of the things that struck me about last night was we had these really big ideas personified, like love, peace, safety. And just to see the transforming powers of those forces in this group setting, that some really incredible things happened. We had these dark forces like shame and colonialism and terrorism totally transformed by these strong, wholesome qualities being embodied in the room. For me personally, I'll say like the most powerful one was safety. How much more I'm capable to do when I feel safe. And wouldn't it be nice if in the real world, safety were a man standing in the corner of the room who will hold you when you ask him to? Wouldn't it be nice if love were this warm lady in a red top who will hug you? Wouldn't it be nice if peace were dancing around the room? But life isn't like that. So what I wanted to share with you today is how we can develop and cultivate these states within ourselves. And one of the really powerful and simple teachings of the Buddha is that these wholesome states co-arise. They are all there together in the same moment. We can't separate them. So love is not something that we need to cultivate separate from peace, separate from safety, separate from truth. When we cultivate one, all of the others are coming along automatically. They are all there in the same mind moments, we say in our classical teaching. So in my tradition, they call these mind states the beautiful mental factors. And in our analysis, usually they split this into 19 states, but there's some overlap in this 19. So very briefly, I'll just tell you what they are. The first of these beautiful states is faith. And this can be a difficult word for some of us because we tend to think of it as being like a dogmatism or a blind faith or a belief in things without knowing that they are really true. But faith is not this in the teachings of the Buddha. Faith is an experiential truth that this is good. It is the belief and the conviction that, yeah, this is good. So faith is the first of these beautiful states that arises. The second of the beautiful states is mindfulness, which is the not forgetting of this mental activity or this object that we are paying attention to. It's the anchoring of the mind in that good state. And the third of these is non-greed, which is our generous, giving, non-attached mind. And the next is non-hatred, which is our love, our acceptance. There are then two states which come together, and they are usually translated as moral shame and moral dread, which isn't a very good translation, but they are the mental states that don't want to do the bad thing. If you like, you could say it is like conscience. We know that is wrong and we don't want to engage in it. We want to do the good thing. And the next is balance. It is the mental factor that keeps these good states, none of them becoming too strong. There is then tranquility, a lightness, a flexibility, a state that they call wieldiness, which is like a malleability of the mind to the job that needs to be done. A proficiency, and then these beautiful mental states called uprightness, which is like our honesty. It is our non-manipulating, clear, sincere mind that knows what is true and conveys the truth. And based on these states, sometimes are arising others like wisdom, compassion, the ability to rejoice. So again, the point of this is that these states aren't arising separately. They are co-arising. If we do one, then all the others are automatically there. So what I saw here is there's such a diverse mix of spiritual practices happening. And the predominance of these states might be different. Perhaps the spiritual practice is generosity-based or love-based, tranquility-based, mindfulness-based. So it's really important for all of you to know which of these mental states is predominant, but also to understand that the other wholesome qualities will automatically be being developed as you cultivate those predominant states. So as an example of this, we're really short on time, but I just want us to take 5 minutes and see if we can experience this in our own minds. We will do this by focusing on our breath, which I think is something that most of you have probably already tried at some point. And I'm going to talk you through it a little bit. So if we sit comfortably, close our eyes. And bring attention to our breath in any way that feels natural and comfortable to us. And at first, I just want us to make the object of our attention the breath. Not paying attention to our mind, but paying attention to the breath. What is the breath doing and how is the breath? We want to make our attention on the breath as continual as possible, that we are knowing it uninterrupted. As you maintain your continual awareness on the breath, I'm going to mention one by one these beautiful mental states. As I mention the beautiful mental states, you can take just a few seconds, shift your attention from the breath, and see if you can notice these mental states arising in your mind. The first is faith. This is good. Mindfulness. Non-greed, generosity. Non-hatred, love, acceptance. Morality. Balance. tranquility. Lightness. Flexibility. Malleability. Proficiency or skill. Honesty, truth. Ding. Bell is on the table. Okay, so time is up, but the main point that I want to make is these states are co-arising. Just to echo what our previous speaker said, they become strong in us through our continual cultivation of them. So let us cultivate those states in our own minds through whatever spiritual practice we choose. Let us make them strong. And again, to echo what the previous speaker said, the world is in a mess, no? And we need people who have these states, who are embodying these states really strongly. And I think we can. Let's try.